Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's been a fabulous few weeks. We had some fantastic feedback with last week's pod for Chris Anstey, and today we've got another beauty. We have the doyen of the WNBL and women's coaching in Australia and in the world when you look at it that way. Of course, we are none other than Tom Maher. He is an Australian basketball coach. He has won 9 WNBL titles. He's coached the Nunniwat Inspectors, Perth, Canberra and Bulleen. He would have got his 10th in 2001 with Sydney, but he took up a WNBA gig. He has also been to 6 Olympics and in one of those as well. Well, in a couple of those, he got medals, but the most biggest one, obviously, was the silver in the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney. He's coached New Zealand in Athens to their best ever performance. He coached the Chinese national team at the Beijing Olympics. And it is none other than the fantastic coach, Tom Maher. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Now, Tom, let me throw the first one at you. Does it give you the willies that you've got 9 WNBL titles? That's just short?
No, it wasn't one short. It was actually, I started 2 seasons. One season in Sydney when I went to the WNBA, and I started the season and I put the team together, did pre-season. Yep. We started playing games.
Yep.
And then I got a job in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. And also, my last season at Nunawading, I was recruited to Hobart like halfway through that season.
That's right,
So I was there. I was the coach for 7, but with 2 asterisks, because I feel it's the same as an injured player gets a medal.
Well, I don't mean to be horrible to Karen Dalton, but she's won 1 championship, and that was that team you set up in Sydney. And she subsequently coached for, I don't know, 10, 20 years in the league and didn't win another one. So I've always credited you with that one anyway as the team.
The funny thing about that team was that I didn't think we'd be that good, because it had Belinda Snell just out of the Institute, Susie Bakovich, who was just out of the Institute, and it was a girl from Siebel, who was Natalie Hughes. And Susie was very young, but a valuable acquisition, of course. And Belinda wasn't the best trainer, and Natalie was slower than me. So, I'm thinking we're maybe by halfway through the year we'll be all right. Well, they started the game. The first game was in Adelaide, and they were just fierce competitors. And we won that game from behind. And I thought, my God, this is a real team. And it taught me that not always are the best trainers, the best players, although usually it is.
Yep.
Tom, I want to ask you, you have been and coached the best women ever to play in Australia. You just mentioned some names there, Susie Bakovics, obviously Lauren Jackson, Penny Taylor. There's so many of them. Can you tell me, is there one, obviously Lauren Jackson is amazing, but Michelle Timms, I just want to know, is there one that stands out, and how did you, that's the first question. The second question I want to have is, did you just coach them all the same, or everyone's just so different from different eras?
I think you just have to take it as you go. I mean, I would have said Robin Maher,
fair enough.
Good answer.
She's cooking dinner.
They were all like, I remember when Lauren was around, and she was 16, and I came out and said that this kid isn't just going to be the best player of her time, but she's like a Bradman, the best player of all time. And I got some pushback from that from Canberra, saying that, oh, we've got to keep the lid on her. I felt that she didn't need the lid kept on. She needed a handle being good. She needed to be able to emotionally handle attention, and she needed to have skills. So for me, there was no point saying she's not going to be greatest, because it was an early call, but any blind people to see if she was going to be special, she's the greatest player we've ever had.
I don't think we've got anyone else that we can ever say was the best player in the world at any given time. So that puts her on a particular pedestal that no one else can achieve anyway. No matter what the people say about Ben Simmons or anyone else in the canon of Australian basketballers, she's number one. And whenever that GOAT discussion comes up, it's a pretty easy one for me. I just throw it in straight away.
Who was it? Was it SCPN or Sports Illustrated that published? I think it might have been Sports Illustrated that published the 20 most influential, the 10 most influential athletes of all time. This is an American business, and she was the foreigner that got in. You know, so maybe
Taking her out then, obviously, being the GOAT, talk to me about, I don't want to say the next best because that's not fair, but talk to me when you look at all those players that I mentioned taking her out of it, where was that one that you went, I'm going to grab that one and I'm going to be able to take her to that level? Who was that?
Well, Robin and Michelle Timms made my career.
Right.
And I left Nutter Whiting thinking that I'd never coached a bad team. Right, and I've never coached a team without magnificent leadership. So I left Nutter Whiting thinking it's just about me. I can coach anybody to do anything, and then I learned that I couldn't.
That's a shock, isn't it?
And then so they were great. I mean, I left the Australian team just as Penny was coming into it. She'd been on a tour with us. And you could see that she was going to be special too. I mean, I coached Rachel Sporn in the Australian team. She was a special player.
Yep.
And, great teammate. And, that'd be my five of, the best ever.
Great, great answer. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, you're all time five. We can just skip that question. when you say that Michelle and Robin made your career, when we met, you and I, a long time ago, and I sat down and asked you questions about how you went about coaching. And you said that you, at the time, you told me, I don't know if you'll remember this, that you wanted to know all there was to know about coaching, or as much as you could get, and you didn't like getting trite answers from people like, just work them harder or whatever. Like when you spoke to a Lindsay or to a Bruce Palmer or a Brian Gorgian, you really wanted to pick their brains and get the detail of how they structured their offense or their defense or this press or that press. Like you were really about the detail. So is that something you would advise now for new young coaches, that go about it that way, get the information, don't just go out there and fold your arms and yell a few instructions?
Well, I think there's different career paths for coaches, and that's what it is. But there's some coaches have a career for a while, and more from patronage than from, learning their trade. And, it's so much more valuable, and the players can appreciate it. So if you've learned your trade, and you're honest, I think that's the number one thing that I just tripped over. I found out that players had more respect for if you were honest with them, and after a while they can see that the criticism, because you have to say when they do something well. So I was stupid when I was a young man. And,
that doesn't make you exceptional. We're all young men. Some of us still are.
I remember people always saying to me, I was always in trouble, and people always saying to me, that's stupid. That's idiotic. What are you doing? Nobody told me what I should have done, So I've always made a personal quest to give the direct feedback. So if somebody does something bad, I say that's bad. If they do good, I say that's good. And after a while, players get to realize that it's not a personal insult or anything. It's just my opinion.
Absolutely. Honesty is the best way, is what you're saying, and that's true.
Absolutely.
But that hasn't always served you well, in other areas. I mean, I'm looking at when you got the gig in 94, the Australian job, the Opals, and immediately you put them into a medal round in your first go round at 94. 96, you're winning a medal. 98, you're winning a medal. 2000, you're winning a medal. And then that's it. You're done as Australian coach. Were you offered the job after the Sydney Olympics, or did you have to apply, or were you told?
I'll tell you, I decided not to share this story for many years because I didn't think that was, people are going to, it's because it's crazy. But look, I have shared it since, so I'll tell you guys what happened. After the Sydney Olympics, we had the starting five for Australia intact. Nobody was retiring, right? And see, Timsy and Shelley were retiring after that, but they weren't starters by that stage. and finishes on one leg. And then, anyway, so I was sort of like thinking, I have to be the blue-eyed boy here, this, you know. So we go into the committee, and my wife was elected to the sports commission. So she was at the meetings that said, what sport's going to get this money, what sport's going to get that, right? So when basketball came in, they said, what are you going to do with Tom Maher? Because there were rumours that he was going to go overseas. And they said, with Robert sitting there, they said, look, is it just maybe we'll give you more money? Right? And then they come out. So obviously Robin related that to me. And I didn't, you know, and at the time I was coaching, I started to coach Sydney, and they said that, you know, we don't want full-time Australian coach, whatever. But anyway, so I go into the meeting and I'm thinking they're going to go, you know, boy, Tom, what can we do? How can we keep that? And then they made me into the claim. So I just, and I already had an offer from the US, and, you know, they come out with a joke offer, you know, that was much less than what I was getting before. Plus, I had to, you know, take whatever I made for Sydney, and that was deducted as well. And my jaw hit the ground. So it was just ego, no question about that. And but I just thought, oh, well, I put a line through you know, like, and I mean, I was quite happy to stay in Australia. We had a great team, and Robert was on the sports commission. And, but, you know, that was just.
Why do you think that was, Tom? Because it was ridiculous. There was you, as far as coaching goes, there was you, and then there was daylight.
Yeah, there was no one. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was like, it was ridiculous. I mean, your successor was always going to go on.
I think it was a very bad, it was, and you know what, the thing is that I always had a rule that you never have a two-person meeting. You know, like with a player, you know, you know, people can come and say, he said this and he said that. Yep. So you have a witness, if you like. But I went into that meeting on my own with Scott, and my jaw fell, Nick, and I couldn't believe it. And I thought to him to say later, you would be happy if I took that offer, right? And then that was it. We'd fallen out of love. So I had that other offer, which was good money, and I went to the USA. Yep. And I read later that there was a book about the Oakland Critters, and Basketball Australia said that, I'm not bagging Basketball Australia, but this is just being factual. Yep. They said that I left because I wanted to coach in the WNBA and still be the Australian coach, and they said they didn't see that as a workable thing. But that's just made up. I didn't say anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, I've always wondered what happened, because I just would have thought they were a bit like you, I'm afraid. I would have thought they would have come in and said, what can we do to keep you? Because the progression has been so very obvious. I mean, we missed qualifying for the 92 Olympics, and suddenly 2 years later, you've got them playing for a bronze medal. You know, like, I would have thought they would have just been bending over backwards and forwards to sort of accommodate you. So I was in shock when you weren't reappointed. It was... Yeah, well, I was devastated. Yeah, look, so I don't know how you felt.
Look, I had no bad feelings towards Scott, but I think he made a bad deal trying to, you know. I mean, I would have taken the same money. I wasn't even asking for a rise, you know. Yep. So, you know, the reason for that is that I was going to be coaching Sydney, so I was going to have other, you know.
Yeah, commitments. Yep. Yep.
Unbelievable when you think about it. In the 94 Worlds, I think it was fourth. 96 Olympics was third. 98 Worlds, I think, was third again. The Olympics second. You just kept getting better and better.
Better and better. The trajectory was kind of obvious.
Yeah. It's very... Tom, I want to sort of change tack a little bit. You've mentioned Robin a number of times in this chat. And one of the things that just sounds like is what a fantastic team you made. Now, obviously... there would be the marriage, which is off the court, but then there's the player-coach relationship on the court. How did that go? I'd love to hear that, because you sound like you both had such the utmost respect for each other.
Well, I remember we had one argument, right? And that was, we were coming back from driving back from practice, and Robin was a magnificent leader and had a brain, you know, just knew what to do. And I mentioned to her, though, that sometimes, you know, her way of communicating was abrupt to some of the players, and, you know, they would feel maybe hurt by it. Well, we had that argument, and we'd never had another argument over basketball. You know, wow. So You know, that's, we've never had an, and I've always been keen to access her thoughts because she's an incredible decision maker, and she's got an ability to say yes or no about a person, and she's always right, you know. So,
right.
So I've always listened to her, and you know, I mean, I've been keen to hear the play because I was never a great player myself, and I was always aware that I can't see it from their view. So right. I try to be in touch with what great players thought and did and how they, whatever, you know.
Well, that's unbelievable to hear because you do hear about, you know, a lot of ex-coaches that, you know, I've been through that, you know, I know what they're feeling, I know what they are. But to hear a coach, which is, well, really, let's be honest, got no record anywhere near as close as you, like you're phenomenal. And to hear that saying, I want to hear what the players are saying, yeah. I want to know what they're saying. Mate, that's just a credit. That gives me goosebumps, Tom. That's amazing.
Well, it's common sense, really.
Yep.
Yeah.
And call. That's why this man is going into the FIBA Hall of Fame, being inducted in the 2021 class with another fairly decent coach, a guy called Chuck Daly, the late great Chuck Daly, who coached the dream team at the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. So that's, you're going in with good in good company, Tom.
Oh, mate, I'm ecstatic, really. It's a great honor, and I'm very humble about it, and I'm very, very thankful to FIBA. FIBA have been good to me because I knew behind the doors when I got different jobs that FIBA put my name forward, you know.
Really?
So I think what happened was that after Barcelona and the disappointment, you know, we missed the Olympics by 1 point, 2 points, I think, and in the qualifier, and everybody was so down about it, and they decided they were going to change coaches. But 6 months went by before the new coach was elected, right? And when I got that job, I didn't have 2 years to get ready. We had 18 months to get ready.
Right.
And FIBA were very conscious that, you know, they're really keen to have the home team go as far into a tournament as possible. And so I heard some feedback that they were really happy that Australia could make the top four and the solid game we played. And a couple of years later, when I first got the Chinese job, I know certainly they recommended me to Great Britain. So, you know, I mean, Great Britain's still got to do it. I think I've had two magnificent leaders, bosses, Mr. Lee in my first tenure in China, and Chris Spice, who was an Australian hockey coach. He was the boss in Great Britain, and they taught me a lot about being smart.
Fabulous, fabulous. Tom, this is a two-part question. The first one is, what are you doing now? And the second one is, will you make it 7 Olympics in a row?
No, it seems like. But, I do a bit of work. I clean the house. No, but
we're talking coaching.
There comes Robin in again.
Well, I do 4 hours a week from Shelton's Academy. Right? I do 2 hours on a Monday, 2 hours on a Wednesday. And I'm coaching the Hawthorn under 16 VC team, which is the goodest team as I've ever coached. And so, I'm really enjoying that part of it.
All right. Now we're going to throw some names at you. Some of them you've already mentioned, but we're going to throw a bunch of names at you. And we just sort of want you to either, if you can sum them up in one word or in one sentence or with an anecdote, any one of the three we'll be happy with. And I'll fire the first one at you. You mentioned her earlier, Rachel Sporn.
She had unbelievable courage. She was tiny and skinny, like, you know, in her body.
Yep.
And I saw her take some whacks. And I saw her take one super whack. And for her to go back out on the floor, I would really, and to match up on the same American that whacked her, you know, I thought that was pretty classy.
Yep.
I'll go next. Shelley Gorman, or Shelley Sandy, sorry, I hope I've got the right names here. But
Shelley Gorman.
Shelley Gorman as the basketballer. I remember when I was playing for the Kings and she was with the Flames, my favourite baller. She just knew how to hoop. Talk to me about her.
Fanatical. And train. She's a personal trainer now. She has a business with her partner. But she would train ridiculous amounts of hours and just absolutely fanatical. You know?
Good answer.
She's a good team to listen to.
Well, we talked about it, but see if you can sum her up again. Michelle Timms.
Well, you know, there's a reason everybody loves her, isn't there? You know,
yes.
I mean, what can you say that's bad about her? You know, like she's, I'm sure there's something bad about her, but I don't know.
She likes putting up on a piece.
We didn't need a press breaker, you know. Anybody try to press the ovals or another one or whatever, it was head down, bum up, and it was a layup. Yeah. So, you know, but her ability to, I don't know, give, she's a giver, you know. She gives of herself and just a magnificent player as well.
Yeah, never ever heard a bad word about her. Absolutely fantastic. All right, my turn here. Trish Fallon.
Trish was a late starter in basketball. And she was a tennis player originally. So she came to basketball late. And people like that lack a bit of experience. She was such an incredible athlete that she was going to make, she was like Karen Ogden. They're going to make the Australian team because they're that talented, you know. But really, another kid that started at, you know, I don't know, 70. I think Karen Ogden started when she was 18. But it's really old to start and then make an Australian team. But Trish was so talented. You know what? She could have some moments that would just absolutely blow you away, right? And then she might drift away a little bit because it was just everything was too natural for her, too, you know, too easy almost, you know. But she was quiet, but a lovely girl.
Okay, I got one for you. This was one of my favourite players, and I never thought she got the sort of publicity or attention as a player for what she did in a number of teams that you coached. That's Gaylene Mackay.
Gaylene, soldier. You know, she played all those years at Nutterwadding and just a soldier. And even she started for us when she was 16, you know, for Nutterwadding. Wow. She was a starting centre in 1983. Well, we didn't have a centre. We just had a two forwardmen. And she was and that's the way we played. And we were, I think, 9 down at half time. And St Kilda, Karen Ogden tapped it up the court and they scored off the tap. So we're 11 down and Gaylene guarded like she's 6 to 17, you know, and we won by 23, I think, in that final.
Wow.
I just loved her. I just thought she did a lot of work that was the sort of the blue collar stuff.
Yeah, she did. She was and always a good person, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last one, and one who's a very interesting one, Sandy Brondello.
Sandy was a terrific shooter. Very yes and no, sir. You know, what she had two weaknesses, really. She wouldn't shoot the three. So she was much better against the Americans than she was against Europeans. And I think she had such a great WNBA career because they were American players, because the American players are up in your grill, right? So Sandy would just blow by him, and she was a tremendous jump shooter. But playing against the Europeans, that's stand back off her and just put a hand, like extend a hand there, like almost daring to shoot it, but not quite. And then as she drove for a jumper, she'd just go into their space, into their range. So I kept saying, look, just shoot a three. Get scouted as if you're a three-point shooter. Just get it up. But she never liked to do that. The other thing was that she was, you know, when you're coaching players like, you know, Timsey and Robin, she was not their defensive acumen. So I was on her back a little bit about that. But look, not hardly ever. She was just yes or no, sir, do what the right thing is all the time.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Tom, absolutely brilliant. It's fantastic to get in the mind of, the best Australian coach, women in Australia we've ever seen. Again, we just want to say, you know, congratulations. You're the most and successful coach of all time, and you did get announced, of course, into the FIBA Hall of Fame class of 2021. So we can't thank you enough for your time. Congratulations. I'm sure there's so much more that you can and will do in basketball, but we just want to thank you for your time, and it was really appreciative to get inside your mind today.
Pleasure to have a chat.
No worries, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Well, again, we thank Tom Ma for his time. That was amazing. And, Boddy, it's just so good. Like, I'll go back to Chris Anstey last week and that Michael Jordan chat. You know, he's a guy that's never lost Michael Jordan. And his chat about the Mavericks when they said, you need some money to get started. And then you look at Tom Ma and what just happened there at the end of the 2000 Olympics. Yeah. Can you believe that?
I can believe it because there was a lot of sensitivity around him. And I was a journalist that was writing, you know, shooting from the hip. I didn't really care.
Well, you still don't.
As much. But I just want to get the truth out there as much as possible, not really worrying about whose toes I stepped on. And he was much the same. And I think he alienated some people. And that's what he really said to us in the podcast, that essentially they didn't want him in the job anymore. And it was crazy because, as we said, the trajectory was pretty obvious. And I know you said a couple of times in this call that he's our best women's coach. Look, he's been to 6 straight Olympics. He's won 9 WNBL championships. I think you're going to make a fair case that he's in the top 2 or 3 coaches. Gender, not gender specific, Brad. You know, he's up
good
there.
Call. Yeah, good call. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame now, so
yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, let's talk NBL. Okay, round 13, which is still going, as all our avid listeners know. We do this on a Monday because that's when we can get our coaches and everything. So actually tonight we still have Melbourne to play Brisbane. You've got an in-depth one about that. Who's out, Boddy?
Oh, Scotty Hobson's out, and which is a bit of a blow because he's just really started to find his form. They've had Jack White out. Shea Ely didn't play the last game. So, yeah, this one against Brisbane could be very, very interesting. But by the time we go to air, you'll know. Who am I going for? Well, originally I went for Melbourne, and I do like their structure and the way they're travelling. I think when the rotation's gets shortened sometimes. I think that helps some coaches because I reckon there's a couple of coaches, and Dean Vickerman's one of them, that just try to get too many people into the game. And when Connor Henry's another one, you know, he's down Tony Crocker and he's down Isaac Humphries, and now they've won 2 games in a row against
contenders. Yeah, it makes it
contenders.
Easier.
Yeah.
You only got 7 or 8 players. You're not worried about giving people minutes. Well, I think Melbourne will win. I still think Brisbane, they're doing well, but I think Vic Law is a massive loss and they've got to replace him. I still think, you know, Lamar Patterson's still short of a gallop and he needs to get back into it. But, you know, they've got enough talent there when you look at, you know, Jason Kadee had a great game and Sobey's having an outstanding year. But Melbourne to win it. And then tomorrow night, well, we're back in Hobart. So that's good New Zealand.
Launceston, mate. It's a different city. All right. Well, it's like Sydney and Wollongong. You got it? You're not in Hobart. You're in Launceston.
Isn't Launceston just next to
apologies to all our Tasmanians.
Please accept my apologies to all 4 people
Tasmania that are listening. Following.
Yeah, okay.
We've got some bloke, Jack Jumpers. He follows us.
Yeah, absolutely. Perth to win that one against New Zealand?
You'd expect they'd want to bounce back after that horror show in Adelaide. I mean, that was the best game of 36ers have played in this particular season. They were great. Josh Giddey actually lived up to expectations. Daniel Johnston just came out and does what Daniel Johnston does. Keanu Pinder had his best game as an NBL player. Yeah. He definitely looked like an NBL player. He did a lot of good things. Had a crowd right behind him too. I mean, everyone wants him to succeed. You don't really want people to see people fail unless there's something mentally wrong with you. But generally speaking, it was a really, really good performance. And we should not, you know, go any further without mentioning Sunday Dick. Again, Sunday Dick had a great job, did the job on Bryce Cotton. You know, Cotton struggled to get to 10 points.
To Perth as well. They had played, you know, like
Absolutely. If you're a Perth fan, you shouldn't be even worried.
I mean, there's still equal on top of there. Yeah. What about anything else in the round? I thought Illawarra beating Phoenix, which I thought Phoenix blew. Illawarra was a good win for them. They needed that after losing to Brisbane.
I thought the really interesting oddity about the Illawarra was they played 3 games in that round, which is never occurred before that a team would play 3 home games in a round, and they scored 82 points in all 3 games. Yeah,
I know. Weird. That was amazing.
That is weird. Twilight Zone stuff.
Perth, well, sad to that as well. Perth are playing 3 away games this round as well, being, you know, when in that place that they're playing tomorrow next to Hobart called Launceston.
It's just up the street from Devonport. Just walk up the road to Burnie and bump into Penguin. Listen, give us a Rose and Rattler.
Yeah, look, my Rose and Rattler, and I'm starting to – these crap shots that people are settling for at the end of quarters and to win games. Mate, how many times do you see where it's, you know, 8 seconds left and 6 seconds left, they walk the ball up the court, They put it between their legs a few times. They dribble, 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 take a step back and shoot a three. Get to the damn hoop.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. Now, I am going to pick up Casper Ware here because this guy, mate, when he goes to the hoop, I've got to be honest, when he does that jump stop and then 2 feet leans into someone for the runner and the layer, he's tougher than anyone I've seen in the league. He could finish around the rim. He's unbelievable. But, man, I think he's got to stop settling for that three, buddy. That three is hurting them, and it happens time and time again, and it's not just him. Think of how many people have gone for a three.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts.
Yes, yeah, and yeah, haven't got very far to go to tip over that particular nuts part.
Yeah, well,
you're not wrong. You're so close. Nudges nuts. It's called nudges nuts. Nudges nuts. Well, I've got one. It's just a minor thing, but it really does get up my nose, I'm afraid. And it's to do with the TV commentary. They say a lot of things that irritate me, and I'm muted a lot of the time. But the one that I can't can't get past, it cracks me up every time. It's when we've got a game going in progress, and one team seems to have the other one's measure. You seem to know where it's going. Team A is going to win this game. And suddenly Team B makes a bit of a comeback, gets back into the game, and we hear the magic words. Oh, we've got ourselves a ball game. Oh, really? You got yourself a ball game, Ed? What'd you have before that? A card game? A board game? A tennis match? For crying out loud. You just say, well, they've got back into the game, and now it's alive again. We thought it was over, but we've got ourselves a ball game. And you hear it so many times because we've had a lot of close games. So it's just another one of those cliche moments that made me just lean back in my lounge chair and go, oh, I'm going to switch over to Netflix and watch another episode of Vikings. Bugger this.
You're a cranky bum. All right, give me winners for this round. Cairns versus Adelaide on Wednesday night.
I actually suspect Adelaide with the shortened rotation. I like the way Adelaide's travelling right now.
Agreed. Kings versus Phoenix Thursday night. Phoenix coming off that win against them.
Phoenix, I think.
Yeah.
Is that again in Sydney?
Can I just mention DJ Dufazulich? That's a terrible injury. Shout out to him here. Yeah, that's terrible. New Zealand versus Brisbane on Friday night at the Silver Dome, right down the road from Hobart.
Yes. Just up there. You could walk there. Oh, gee, that's a tough one. I don't mind New Zealand. I think by then they'll have Randolph settled in and Rob Lowe settled back in because they've got a game coming before that. Now, I think we're going to go to New Zealand for an upset.
I'll go Bullets. Perth versus Illawarra, RAC Arena, Perth. Phoenix back home against Adelaide 36ers. I'm going Phoenix there. They won't back up Adelaide.
Yeah, that would be if they win in Cairns, that would be four wins in a row for Adelaide. And they're not a four win in a row type club. They're a team that's going to drop one.
Sydney back down to Cairns in Sydney. So you got Sydney there beating Cairns?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious as to the extent of Scott Machado's injury because he didn't play the second half against Illawarra with a corky. And, yeah, that can be – everyone's had a corky and you think, well, that's not much, but that can be pretty severe. I'm interested to see if that impacts on him over the next couple of games or whether he even misses one.
Yeah, fair enough. Melbourne versus Illawarra back home in Melbourne on Sunday.
Yeah, I think United, but, a lot of it hinges on how long Scotty Hobson's on the sidelines and Shaley. And there's variables. That's a thing. That's a thing with when we're predicting here on a Monday and Tuesday that you just don't know. Like last week, we don't know that Dejan Vasiljevic is going to suffer that injury or that Ryan Brokoff is going to be injured. Bear in mind, when we make these predictions, they're based on pretty much nothing.
Yeah, well, because we know nothing. Speaking of nothing, Sunday, Perth versus New Zealand, we'll both go for Perth. Buddy, I wanted to mention something. You wrote an article this week on your website, botinagy.com, about Andre Lemanis, potentially. Talk to me about that.
It's something I have heard in a couple of places from reliable sources that are in and around the Brisbane Bullets, and that is that the speculation is that he's accepted or is accepting a three-year contract in Japan post-NBL season, coaching in the Japanese league and the J League, a report I've heard a couple of times now, and it doesn't seem to die down. And as I say, one of my sources is within that organisation, so I don't know how does that impact if people start to know, if players start to know, do they think the coach is a lame duck, or do they think let's win this one for him before he goes, or how does that impact psychologically? There's no denials have come out of Brisbane, but I wouldn't believe him anyway, because we had Andre Lemanis on the program. We asked him about Orlando Johnson getting the flick and Lamar Patterson coming in, and he said, don't believe everything you read. And
except the one that Reed said that Andre Lemanis was attacking him, except that one.
So,
Bobby, awesome. Love it. And you are the man in the know, or at least you think you know.
I agree.
No, thanks again, mate. Also, want to shout out to Tom Maher. Thank you for a fabulous
great interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Really appreciate it. Body, that's it, mate. We're a wrap. I want to shout out to a few people that have been contacting us and saying they're really enjoying our pod. So thank you for that. It's been great. We want to thank Piranha Media again. We love being involved with them. Check out all their things that they've got on there, and then check out our Facebook and Instagram and everything. Body, you want to sign off here?
Yeah. Thanks very much. Stop talking. Let's go.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I wish people could see the shirts you wear. Mate, you have got, mate, that's a 1988 Newcastle Falcon shirt. And you know what?
Yeah, it's a classic.
It looks like A, it's never been washed, and B, it's as white as anything I've seen.
I can see you, and you look like you're naked because you're up in bloody Port Douglas or Cairns or somewhere when we're doing this. And you look like naked. It's been very off-putting the entire show. I've been blustering. So
it's funny, that's what my wife said to me last night.